Good morning. I want to welcome you all this morning. Please take notice of our announcements in our bulletin today. We want to send our condolences to David Clark for the passing of his father on Tuesday, October 16th. We continue to pray for those in and around our city for their hurricane, Tropical Storm Michael damages. I also want to recognize that next Sunday is our special Reformation Sunday service. I'll be selling tickets in the juice room after the service today. If you need tickets for the luncheon next week, the menu is in your bulletin. And we have a minute for stewardship this morning. Susan Mathena has our minute for stewardship this morning.
Good morning. Stewardship. I looked up the word in the dictionary. I know what it means to me, but just to make sure I was on the right track, it means taking ownership and responsibility. So taking ownership and responsibility for me means being a part of leadership as well as activities within the church family and, of course, contributing financially as well. And I find the more I give, both financially and time-wise, the more I get back. And that's basically what stewardship means to me. And I hope that y'all find it in this season of stewardship to be worthwhile to reconsider what you are doing with your time and your finances to support our church family. Thank you.
Please join me in our responsive call to worship. O Lord, my God, how great you are. You are clothed with honor and majesty. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let us worship God. We will now sing together our hymn of praise 263, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Thank you.
Let us recite together our prayer of confession. O God, who sent Christ to make intercession, have mercy on us as we confess our sin. He was oppressed, we afflict others. He was judged, we declare others unworthy. He was stricken, we cause others pain. He was put to death, we likewise destroy the innocent. Numbered with sinners, he bore our transgression. Through Christ, make us righteous, so that in him we can obey you. Amen. Join me in our assurance of pardon. Since we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, who has passed through the heavens, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, with assurance that in Christ we are forgiven. Will the children come forward?
Good morning. Well, tell me, did any of y'all get to go to the beach this past summer? You got to? Some people do? Well, I'm sure maybe you have sometime in the past. What do you like? Did you get to go?
I was in the hurricane chair.
What did you like to do at the beach? Play in the sand. That's what everybody wants to do. Jump the waves, don't they?
I always like the barrels.
Yeah, everybody likes the beach. We went this summer and had such a good time. I brought part of the beach home with me. See this bag of sand? Tell me, how many grains of sand do you think in this bag? Now, I haven't counted them, but I bet it's over a million. And you know what? It's little bitty pieces. It would take a long time to count all those. But you know what? God tells us that he loves us more than all the number of grains of sand that are on the beaches. Can you imagine how many that be? How much, what kind of number that would be? It would be more than we could ever count, more than we can imagine. And I think that's what God is telling us. He loves us.
Even though if I count out, I would have probably been about 60.
It'd be a lot to count. He loves us more than we can imagine. So remember, sometime when you're feeling kind of down and lonely, just think about that. God loves us more than the number of grains of sand on all the beaches. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for loving us so much and promise that you'll never leave us or forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen.
let us recite together our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The first scripture lesson this morning is from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, which can be found in your pew Bibles on pages 848 or 890. Hear the word of the Lord. Every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray. Since he himself is subject to weakness, this is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. And no one takes this honor on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his servant's submission. Son though he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. gospel lesson, we're continuing on in our kind of journey through the Gospel of Mark. We are going through this wonderful 10th chapter of Mark, and it's one where Jesus is constantly calling us to re-examine how things work in the world. And so we begin in verse 35 today, pick up where we left off last week. And we have James and John are there. James and John, sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called to them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom you recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I was telling some folks before the service that you all are lucky this week because of receiving a new member into the, and because of communion. It's a short sermon today. Short and sweet, hopefully. The question that I pose in the title to the sermon is, who is the greatest? That's what James and John want to know. That's what they want to be next to Jesus. And yet we so often do not know what we're asking when we are approaching God. We think we know exactly what is best, what we need the most, what God ought to do for and with us, forgetting that our ways are not God's ways. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. James and John say to Jesus, "Teacher, we want you to do for us what we ask of you." Jesus honors their desire and asks them in return, "What is it? What is it that you want me to do for you?" And in one of the most honest confessions in all of Scripture, they tell Jesus exactly what they want. "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." In other words, James and John want status. They want power. They want proximity to a glory that will make them glorious too when it is finally revealed. Let's give them points for being honest, at least. Now, Jesus, rather than going all sarcastic, all knowing on them, is honest right back to them. He says, "You have no idea what you are asking for, James and John. Are you able to drink from the cup that I drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of which I am baptized?" Then in the most pride-laden statement in Scripture, James and John say, "Sure, we are able." The mind-blowing thing about this statement is that it comes right after Jesus has told them for the third time that he will suffer and die before being raised on the third day, not the kind of power and status they seek. And yet they say they're able. So Jesus tells them, well then, you will drink from the cup that I drank. You will be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But frankly, it's not up to me who sits at my right hand or on my left. And at this point, what happens? The other 10 get into the conversation. They're all mad. Why do James and John get the special status? What about us, Jesus? So once again, we human beings speak out of ignorance or pride or naivete. Once again, Jesus has to set them straight. We're asking the wrong questions. We're wanting the wrong things. We're capitulating to the wrong values. We're focused on the wrong priorities. Like God speaking to Job way back in the Old Testament, Jesus must confront the disciples, call them on their flawed thinking, and remind them of who God is and who they are in relationship to God. If followers of Jesus seek to be great, they must serve. Once again, we are told those who want to be first must be last. This message, this truth, this reality is not one James and John want to hear. Who wants to be the last? This message, this truth, this reality is something that no one wants to hear. When was the last time you asked Jesus to make you a servant? When was the last time you heard a prayer in worship that said something like, God, take away all the status I have, all the power. Make us the least and the last. Can you imagine that as a tagline for stewardship season? Maybe the finance committee wants to use that one, the least and the last. When we were talking about our stewardship season, Minute for Missions, I thought about what might happen if we printed a mission statement in our bulletin like that. What would happen if the PNC, which just finished writing the ministry information form that your next pastor will be reading and finding out more about this congregation, what if they put in there the first church in Danville striving to be the least Presbyterian church? We talk about servant leadership, but do we talk about being a servant? We often seek to serve, but rarely seek to be a servant. We want Jesus to do for us what we ask, and rarely do we ask to be the last. Rarely do we rejoice at being the least. Often we want to tell God what to do or take God to task for recognizing that we truly have no idea what we're asking for. Thankfully, God knows about us. God loves us anyway. God, in fact, deals gently with us through that high priest that Brenna read about from the letter to the Hebrews, through Jesus Christ. When do we not know, or when we do not know what we need, or what we're asking for Jesus to do, when we don't know our proper place or recognize God's will, when we can't see past ourselves and our circumstances, when we think we know what is best but fail to see what God says is better, that's when Jesus intercedes for us. We hear that in Hebrews, when it talks about Jesus being the high priest that sacrifices himself for the sins of the world. In one of the most pastoral sentences in all of Scripture, we are subject to weakness. We have a great high priest who meets us in our ignorance and asks us with all sincerity, what is it that you want me to do for you? And then does for us much more than we can ever ask or imagine. Jill Duffield once wrote, James and John want glory. Jesus offers salvation. James and John want status. Jesus offers relationship with him. James and John want power. Jesus offers purpose. James and John want greatness. Jesus offers life. James and John want recognition. Jesus offers grace. James and John want vindication. Jesus offers mercy. James and John, like Gentiles then and like Gentiles now, want to lord it over others. Jesus offers them, and he offers us the privilege of serving side by side with him. We want to be first. We want to be the greatest. But Jesus reminds us that we are closest to him when we are among the least and the last and the lost. As we join around the table today, as we receive a new member, thanks be to God that no matter what we ask, we have the great high priest who intercedes for us, and through his death and resurrection that we celebrate this day, has already given to us more all that we could ever need. Amen. At this point, then, I would like to ask Jacqueline, let me get it right, Rochford, to come forward to reaffirm her faith and unite with us here at First Presbyterian.
Reason why we're up here is that Jackie, in relating her journey of faith, has mentioned that she is ready to reaffirm her faith. And so we gather around the baptismal font, but we are all going to reaffirm our
Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. We come from east and west, from north and south, to sit at this table laid before us by our Lord and Savior. I invite all those who feel called and feel in relationship with Jesus Christ to join with us as we partake of this holy sacrament. And we ask that we will be one in this wonderful sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, Creator and ruler of the universe. Lord, you commanded light to shine out of darkness, divided the sea and the dry land. You created us in love. You gave us the breath of life and the freedom to choose your way. You promised yourself in covenant with Abraham and Sarah, told us your purpose in the commandments through Moses, and called for justice in the cry of the prophets. Through long generations, you have been faithful and kind to your children. Great and wonderful are your works, Lord God Almighty. Your ways are just and true. Therefore, we lift our hearts in joyful praise, joining our voices with the choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and every place, who forever sing to the glory of your name, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. We praise you, most holy God, for sending your only Son to live among us, sharing our joy and sorrow. He told your story, he healed the sick, and was a friend of sinners. Obeying you, he took up his cross and died that we might live. We praise you that he overcame death and has risen to rule the world. He is still a friend of sinners. We trust him to overcome every power that can hurt or divide us, and believe that when he comes in glory, we will celebrate victory with him. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of your bread and fruit of the vine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Send us out in the power of the Spirit to live for others as Christ lived for us, announcing his death for the sins of the world and telling his resurrection to all people and nations. By your Spirit, draw us together in one body and join us to Christ the Lord, that we may remain his glad and faithful people until we feast with him in glory. Lord, hear the prayers that we have for those who cannot be with us this morning and yet are still in our hearts. Lord, we also lift up to you those who we mention by name. We lift up to you Amy and Lisa, Charles and Liv, Matthew, Diane, George, the family and friends of George Grecos, one so young who passed this week. Be with Jay and Diane. Be with Martha Jo and Gail. Be with Beth and Bill. With Jane. With Ellen. With Lee and Dana. Hold in your loving arms Friel and Ella, Jim and Tom. be with the family and friends of Nelson Clark, who passed this week, and bring them the blessed assurance that through this, our Lord and Savior, who we celebrate this day, he lives now with you. We continue to lift up Joe and Claudine, Ben and Helen, Nulty, and all of our service personnel, Dustin and others, our first responders who did such a wonderful job working to rescue and to respond during the latest storm. We ask that you would be with all those who are recovering from both Michael and Florence and all the storms in between, all the storms we don't even know about. Also, we hold in our prayers the family and friends of Ed Polhamus, who passed away. Lord, hear our prayers. And be with us as we join together, praying the prayer that your Son taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord God, we give you thanks that on the night before his death, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do so in remembrance of me, proclaiming his death, but also proclaiming his resurrection. Come, these are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving God, you graciously fed us who have received these your holy mysteries with the bread of life and the cup of eternal salvation. May we who have received this sacrament be strengthened in your service. We who have sung your praises tell of your glory and truth. We who have seen the greatness of your love see your face, see you face to face in your kingdom. For you have made us your own people by the death and resurrection of your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, and by the life-giving power of your Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward for the morning offering?
Let us pray. Lord,
Lord God, we ask that you would help us to use these offerings, to go out into the world in peace, to have courage, to hold on to what is good, to return no one evil for evil, to strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the suffering, and honor all people, to love and serve you, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask your blessings upon that, this, and would ask that you would guide us as we seek to do your will wherever we go. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And let us remain standing and sing our final hymn, number 281, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.